From One World Trade Center, where we can't figure out a 401k, but we can fill out a fantasy lineup. Welcome to the Golf Digest Fantasy Podcast.
Welcome back to the Golf Digest Fantasy Picks Podcast. I'm Alex Myers, and as always, I'm joined by Joel Beal. The PGA Tour got off to an interesting start, I'd say, in Napa. Obviously, didn't have Tiger Woods there at the Safeway Open, but we did have a somewhat exciting finish. Brendan Steele, I know Joel and I are going to commiserate over the fact that he couldn't win once when he was on our fantasy team last year. Of course, he wins the first event of this year, but
didn't help that another member of our team, Scott Piercy, led after the first couple of rounds.
It
was a dagger to us.
It was a dagger. But anyway, we're on to week two, and the PGA Tour, after that short stint in Napa, is now in Malaysia, of all places. This event became an official PGA Tour event in 2013. Ryan Moore won in 2013 and 2014, so he really capitalized on the fact that this counted as a PGA Tour event. Justin Thomas won last year. And I guess, Joel, I'll start off with you. Who leads your list of guys heading into this week?
The first guy off the field list is Hideki Matsuyama. Hmm. Not only did he win last week the Japan Open Golf Championship, but he's also one of the few guys that in the field not dealing with jet lag, since he was kind of already over in that, you know, relative area. Finished fifth here last season. Also had an under-the-radar fifth-place finish during the Tour Championship. You know, for a top 15 player in the world, Matsuyama is very up and down. Like, I feel like his high, like, put it this way, I think he had 23 appearances last year, only made the cut in 16 of those appearances. So when he hasn't really found that level of consistency yet. However, when he does make the cuts, he has a very high ceiling, finished in the top 10 in 8 of those appearances, including a win. So it's not a stacked field, which I think this is one of the reasons why I think if you're going to bet him to go big this week, this would be the week to do it.
Yeah, I like Matsuyama a lot. You mentioned the Japan Open. I saw that as a major championship over in Japan. It was the first time he's won that event. So certainly he's coming in pretty hot. You mentioned the Tour Championship as well. I will stay over in that part of the world too. Another guy who is not going to be making the, you know, cross-Pacific flight, if you will, is Anubhan Lahiri of India, who had one of the more unusual finishes to a golf tournament you'll ever see at in Macau. He the Venetian Open, it's on the Asian Tour. He birdied the final 7 holes of the tournament, got into a playoff, and then on the first hole, he was laying up on a par 5, and he hit it in the water and lost. So, anyway, never seen.
You had 7 birdies all summer?
No. Thanks for bringing that up. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, on one hand, that's impressive, but on the other hand, that's quite an interesting turnaround for him. And but anyway, he's, you know, of course, he's a guy who we've gotten used to seeing. I think he was one of our sleepers coming into the last year. He kind of had a little bit of a disappointing year after a nice breakthrough year in 2015, but he's a guy, he hits it a long way. We saw he won the driving contest at the PGA Championship a couple years ago. He's got a lot of talent. We saw him on the President's Cup team. I'm sure he'll be on the President's Cup team again this year. I like Lahiri this week.
I'm with you. I think because of that end of the season in 2015, we thought really big things for him. And he didn't have a bad year by any means, but I think people were expecting him to do like a top 25, top 30 player. Right. Clearly not there yet. But he's also, I mean, not that old either. So,
right.
Hey, you know what? It takes a little bit, a little used to, you know, getting being a premier player rather than just kind of sneak under the radar. So I'm with you. I think Lahiri is going to have, if you want to say, a bounce back year this year. This will be the place to do it. Another guy I'm looking to kind of have a, I want to say bounce back year, because he actually finished really strong 2016. That's Gary Woodland. He has 2 runner-up finishes here in 2013 and 2014. Last year, Justin Thomas won at 26 under, so clearly this is the course that favors guys that can go low, which definitely applies to Woodland. He ranked 22nd last year in scoring, and he just got married. As I saw with you last summer, you went from like a barely serviceable coworker to surprisingly adequate. So I'm going to do the same thing with Woodland. I think married life is going to push him to the next level. I think he's a good bet for a top 10 this week.
However, what happened to my golf game?
Well, I mean,
went in the toilet. So let's not get too carried
away. I think
when
we met each other last summer, you were a 3 or 4, and now
trending towards an 8.
We're working on the ESPN 30 for 30 Road to 8, the Alex Meyer story. So
exactly. But no, you know, Gary is still quote unquote in the honeymoon phase. He just had his wedding in Turks and Caicos. He posted a hilarious video you can barely see it, but Matt Kuchar disrobes. It's a pool. There's a pool there. just to let you know. He disrobes, though, and does the Will Ferrell Anchorman. Excuse me, everyone. I have a very important announcement. Cannonball! And he jumps in. And actually, a few other people jumped in. So he wasn't that weird guy just doing something. And Gary Woodland posted the video, so you know he wasn't ticked off. We hope his bride appreciated Matt's, you know, apparently Matt Kuchar.
I think when you invite Matt Kuchar to a wedding, you got, have to expect something like
exactly.
that to happen.
This guy's a wild man. I mean, he was always the Grey Goose, you know, sponsored by Grey Goose. The guy's a party animal.
Will Kuchar. He be in your top five just favorite guys on tour?
Yeah, I definitely. Well, after this, he's number one. Yeah, right. I mean, I need to get to a pool party with Matt Kuchar. That is now my number one goal in life. But, yeah, so back to Gary. He's obviously in good spirits coming off that wedding. And I agree. He's another decent pick. We got to talk about Kevin Na, who last year had a close call here. Last week, another solid finish in Napa. He's turning into Mr. October, if you will, of golf. Reggie Jackson obviously is the guy in baseball, but Kevin Na is Mr. October.
He, you know, for the most part last year, not that great, although he did make the tour championship, so clearly not an awful year. But like we saw last
career
week,
career high in earnings.
He did, I think.
But he's just very solid. He didn't win. He didn't win. Yeah.
But like you mentioned, he won or came in second at Safeway Open 2 years ago. Obviously had a great finish last week, and now, yeah, you're right. It's a guy who just seems to get it. It's when other guys kind of view this as almost like a soft opening to the year. I think he looks at it as, hey, it's season starts. These things count just as much as anyone else. Yep. And from the little you kind of gather from players, they don't have exactly the same mindset this year either. They kind of still look at it as a silly season. It's not in that mindset. So, yeah, I'm with you. I think now's a good pick.
Yeah. And another guy like that who, and I mentioned him at the top, is Ryan Moore, who, again, I mean, I joked about it, but he really did. I mean, he sees this opportunity that, you know, obviously it's not like these guys were making fake money when they were playing this event before. It was real money, but it just didn't count towards the official money list. It didn't count towards FedEx points and all that, or, Ryder Cup points and all that, I guess. But Ryan Moore won this event twice in 2013, 2014, finished T10 last year. This was I kind of thought of Ryan Moore, other than his amateur career, obviously, as the guy who always plays well in Malaysia. And now in the past month or so, he's really changed that. He's now the guy who almost won the tour championship and the guy who earned the cup clinching point at the Ryder Cup. So this, you know, Ryan Moore can owe maybe a lot of his success to the success he's had in Malaysia.
I mean, he's maybe four or five other guys have been better than Ryan Moore since late July. So, And so, yeah, I'm with you. Couple that with his success here. He's one of the two or three guys you have to pick this week. But along with that, guys who have been hot, we'd have to mention Paul Casey. Mm. Some people, they're worried about his 24th place finish here last year, which I don't get whatsoever. The only thing that you should be concerned about are his four last starts. A second, a fourth, and a third. I mean, the guy is just amazing. It's just so bizarre because, again, this is someone a year ago when he announced that, hey, I'm giving up my Euro Tour membership, it was just kind of like a shoulder shrug, like, okay, whatever. You know, no offense to Paul Casey, it's just he hadn't really done anything for a couple of years. And now, I mean, guy's going to be with another solid finish. He's going to be a top 10 player in the world.
Yep.
I think this course really sets up well for him. Even though he's not the longest hitter in the world, he just hits his irons so well. And these irons, really, there's not a lot of contour on the green, so you can kind of get away with some iffy putting, which is, if there is one fall to Paul Casey, he's not the most solid guy with the short stick in his hand. So, we're going to hear this a few times this week of this definitely favors guys who can go low, and definitely that fits the bill with Paul Casey.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have to think at some point he's going to have a bad week. But until he does, I don't know how, and it, like you said, against a weaker field, I don't know how you don't ride this guy. It really is a remarkable run he's on. You're right. Paul Casey was a big deal, 2008, 2009, an up-and-comer, so to speak. He's now almost 40, or he is 40.
He's going to be 40, I think, this summer.
Yeah, so he's, he's not a young guy anymore, but he's kind of resurrected his career after we kind of forgot about him. And it's kind of amazing he's been able to put forth this stretch. Obviously, last week wasn't a big time event, but those three straight finishes at in the FedEx Cup playoffs, That's amazing. I mean, you just have to think eventually he's going to win again. He's a guy who's been stuck on one PGA Tour win since 2010, I believe, the Shell Houston Open.
And then, you mentioned even in the 2008, 2009 when he was in this upper-comer, he almost reminded me of a like highly touted baseball prospect, of someone you hear about and hear about, but it doesn't actually translate to the box scores. That was Queso. This wasn't like a guy, resurrecting past glory. This is really his first time having sustained success really throughout his career. And at this age, I mean, you see a lot. Sometimes guys are struggling to keep their card at this stage of their career. So it really is remarkable. I feel like it's something that most of the general public is not aware of because he hasn't got that win yet. Like you mentioned, if he keeps plugging these top fives away, at some point he'll be there at the finish.
Well, and more people, obviously, at least in this country, would know more about him if he had been on the Ryder Cup team, I think, which obviously he was kind of this controversial figure. He wasn't a member of the European Tour, so he couldn't be on the European team. Clearly, he would have been one of their best guys. Also, clearly, Russell Knox probably should have been picked. I know we've talked about this. Alex Noren won again last week. So you have three European players ranked in the top 20 in the world right now who were not on the Ryder Cup team just 2 weeks ago. That is unbelievable.
You almost feel bad for Darren Clark because he couldn't have picked it. He couldn't have done a worse job with this captain. I mean, Thomas Peters, was one of the breakout star. He was a captain's pick. But can you imagine if he would have picked Luke Donald like the initial reports over Thomas Peters? Like, man, what a
– Yeah.
I think, it sounds like they're going to announce a new Ryder Cup captain here in the next couple of weeks, at least they mentioned before Christmas. You have to wonder also if they're going to make some changes similar to how the U.S. did with the task force of do they let someone like a Paul Kasian, do they maybe – keep one of those captain's picks, kind of like what the U.S. did. Allow their Ryan Moore, their hot guy.
Because they could have picked Noren. Not Casey because he wasn't qualified, but they could have picked Alex Noren. He's coming off. Yeah, Alex Noren won the week after Darren Clark made those picks, and now he won again. It's, bad timing for Europe, I guess. Good timing for the U.S. But, yeah, it is an oddity that you have three guys in the top 20 who were not on the European Ryder Cup team anyway.
But then then you have to remember the U.S. did one, so how bad can we really feel?
I don't feel bad. I mean, honestly, I don't even care who wins. I just want it to be more of a back and forth. You shouldn't have get to the point where we're talking about task force and making it all serious. It should be, you should win at home, you should lose on the road type thing, back and forth deal, and hopefully we get back into that at least. But Europe wasn't fighting a fair fight this year. They did not have their 12 best guys, that's for sure.
No, not the case.
Moving on, who else do you like?
Fourth guy on my list is Daniel Berger. He finished 10th at Crooked Stick a couple weeks ago. Then after a rough first round at the Tour Championship, had three straight days in the 60s to close it out at East Lake. Ranked 17th in birdies per round last year. As we mentioned, this is a course that favors low scoring. Berger's a guy who finished in the top 25 in half his starts. He's a consistent performer with a really high ceiling, and in most daily fantasy leagues, he's got a relatively moderate price. So if you're looking for a guy who, he might not be the number one or two pick to win this week, but if you're looking for someone just to have your safe, foundation, top 15, top 10 pick, I think Berger's the guy you have to look at.
I'll take another young guy, and that's Justin Thomas, who is the defending champ, coming off a T8 at Silverado. Obviously, made it. I think he ended up 11th on the FedEx Cup points list. Had a very solid second year. Could have made the Ryder Cup team. Was obviously one of those last options. I know, as you wrote about, Joel, he is playing for Hurricane Matthew.
He is. Every birdie he makes, he's donating, which is saying something, giving. I think he ranked in the top 10 in birdies.
Yeah, he made like 23 last week. So that's a good start. I mean, hopefully some of the other guys on tour are following his lead, because especially if you're racking up birdies, that's a good thing.
We would donate if we count our birdies for Friday's Sites Cup? Alex and I are paired together in our inter-office tournament.
That's right. Yeah, inter-office tournament, two-man scramble. Interesting format. Hopefully we'll make a few.
Either put our friendship together or drive us further.
Yeah, this might be a one-and-done situation for us with the team.
There's a chance the cops are called to break an altercation. Rolling it out.
But we shall see. It should be fun. Hopefully we make somewhat near the amount of birdies that Justin Thomas makes. But yeah, we'll see. Anybody else that you want to talk about?
Well, I was going to mention Thomas. Do you do you worry at all that, granted, he is coming in, as this is really he's only won once on tour. This is his first time defending. Do you think he's a guy that kind of gets up to the challenge? He's still, 23 years old. Do you think he's kind of ready for that responsibility to defend, or do you think he's almost such a brazen guy that the thought, any expectations of trying to repeat really just kind of wash right the side of him? Do you think this helps him being a defending champ with that experience, or do you think it might just be too much expectations to repeat for a guy like that?
I think it helps him. I think he's such a confident player, and particularly right now he's playing with so much confidence. He had some shot, I believe it was on Saturday or Sunday. He went up over the trees, landed it and out of the rough, and spun it back about 15 feet and made a birdie. And it was just one of those, you'd see a Phil Mickelson pull off, and the fact that he even went for that shot showed you how confident he was. And he was, they were playing for some money there. He wasn't even in contention, but he was, he was kind of risking a big number there. I like that bold, aggressive play from him. I think he's just a confident player in general. I think this will feed into that, the fact that he is the defending champ. And, it's not like he's the defending champ at the Masters or anything, let's be honest. I mean, we're talking about the CIMB Classic in Malaysia. By the way, I hate to admit it, but the most I know about Malaysia comes from Zoolander. Yeah. Mugatu plan was spoiled by Derek Zoolander and Hansel.
Wow, we really don't want to bang up job in promoting this week.
So hopefully there are no international incidents this week, and we get a good tournament. Anybody else?
Well, that great lead-in.
Anybody you're worried about?
Not worried about. The one guy who actually intrigues me a little bit is Vijay Singh.
Oh, Vijay.
Yeah. This is a course where, it does help the low scoring. And the way, Vijay's age, I feel like if he is going to put up any type of fight, it's going to be a course that you would think would be more of a, not a U.S. Open course, but, where lower scores prevail, where you have to grind out pars. But Vijay has had some success in this area before, and I feel like this is one of those things where most people be watching football this time of year, and all of a sudden they just check the bottom score of, hey, wait a minute, there's Vijay Singh's in the mix at a PGA. What the heck's going on here? Moreover, he has his axe to grind at the PGA Tour, with this lawsuit going on. I think he still wants to keep going out there. I think from everything I've heard about, especially with a few club companies who are, trying to garner his business, they think he's actually playing better than he ever has in the last 4 or 5 years. So if you're looking for a way-off-the-wall sleeper he's one of the cheapest guys available in most fantasy sites, I think Vijay Singh's a guy who he could, I'm not saying he's going to win, but if you're looking for a, backdoor top 15, he's a guy, someone that I think's a viable option.
Okay. I happened to see his name at the whatever the tournament was in Fiji. Brant Snedeker won by a million shots. He really did. He won by 9 shots. I think Vijay was 20-something shots behind, but maybe he'll find his game again in Malaysia. Anyway, we hope you find your great lineup this week, and we hope that we could provide some service for you in this new season. And again, if you want a helpful hint, you should probably just pick guys who are on Joel and my fantasy team last year, because apparently they're going
to
start
winning. This is the time to shine.
They're going to start winning every tournament now that it's a new season and they're not on our team. So
one guy we did forget to mention that I think does, and I think we're on the same page on this, but the biggest name in the field is Adam Scott. Now
he is, yeah.
It has had success
here
before.
I think it's telling that neither of us brought him up.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think, again, this is a guy who really great spring last year, didn't hear anything from the summer, then had that nice little August run. Do you think this time off kind of helps him get back in? Because, he has a couple big events coming up in Australia. Or do you think this is kind of one of those, hey, it sounds like it's more of an appearance fee show up. Do you think he kind of just goes through the motions this week?
Yeah, I'm not expecting big things. You're right, he probably does want to get a tournament under his belt before he does the whole Australian swing. But, he's at that level now where these tournaments aren't doing it for him. Obviously, the ones in Australia are playing in front of his home fans. But, I'm actually kind of surprised he is in the field, because you mentioned he's a big name. Sergio Garcia is, too, another guy.
And our friend Ian Poulter.
And Ian Poulter. Wow. Oh, making that's
his
return.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there's three guys that are big names who we didn't So you can't accuse us of just picking all the big names. That's,
you know, that's this is why we make our money.
Yeah, exactly. So no, I'm not. I you know, Scott doesn't particularly jump off
the page. I'm with you. Like, yeah. I said, I think, and again, he has had success here in the past, but at the same time, it's even with the weekend field, I think only a third of the top 30 are here. Scott still is a guy who doesn't jump off the page for me. I'd stay away from him.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for us. Thank you very much for listening. Please subscribe to us on iTunes if you haven't done so already. And come back next week to see our picks. Thank you.